Here we have Jesus calling Matthew. Now, the interesting thing is that if you look in the Gospels of Mark and of Luke, you will see that they call Matthew Levi. Now, this may note that Matthew was of the tribe of Levi. And Levi, that tribe, was a priestly tribe. So here we have someone that would have been educated under the priestly system in Israel at that time. But we find that instead of using his learning and his skill to become a priest, there is a sense that he turned his back on that, if you like, profession or calling. And instead, he became a tax collector. In other words, there is a sense in which he turned his back upon his own people. We would say he had become a collaborator. He was working for the enemy, the state of Rome, instead of for Israel. And that meant that he would have been despised to all the people there as they looked at Matthew. They all knew what he was like. And of course, tax collectors had a bad reputation in those days. Sometimes we think that they have a bad reputation today. Whether that's true or not, I'm not here to speculate. But in those days, there was a lot of swindling going on. Where Matthew was on this, in his little tent, was on one of the main trade routes in which goods came from Rome all the way through Israel and on into other provinces. And his job was to check the goods coming through and demand the payment for those goods. And sometimes he knew what was allowed, but he might add a little bit extra. And that little bit extra never went to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, but went into his own pocket. So he was considered a bit of a cheat, a bit of a swindler. And again, that would mean that as far as the rest of the people in the town were concerned, they despised him even more. So here was a man that, in a sense, was an outcast. And then along comes Jesus. And it says, Jesus looked and saw. It says, when Jesus... Now, let me get this right. Where am I here? Right. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. He saw a man. Now, that's not just a giveaway description. I believe that it means something else. I believe that it meant that Jesus knew all about this man, Matthew. He knew what a cheat he was. He knew where he'd come from. He knew where he'd fallen to. There wasn't any secrets about Matthew that Jesus didn't know. He had that divine perception to be able to look at a person and know instantly about that person. We think it would be wonderful, wouldn't we, if suddenly Jesus appeared before us, in front of us, this evening, and could look at us. But what would he see? What would he see with that perception that he has to look into the depths of our very heart? Would we really want to stand in the presence of Jesus like that, or would we want to sneak off into the background, as it were? Jesus saw this man. And the interesting thing is, Jesus seeing this man and knowing everything about this man doesn't rip him off for being that kind of criminal and crook. But instead, Jesus says to him this, "Follow me." That's amazing, isn't it? When you think of what Jesus knew and understood about this man, that he could then say to that man, "Follow me." If he'd have been a clean living member of society, if he hadn't turned his back on his own people and thrown his lot in with these foreigners from Rome, if he'd have been true to his calling and been upright and just, then yes, we could understand Jesus saying, "Follow me." But it wasn't the case. Jesus could look into this man and see all of that. But the thing is, friends, Jesus saw something more than that. Jesus saw this man's potential. He knew what this man could become if once he followed Jesus. And it's just the same. When Jesus looks at us, we're conscious, aren't we, of the things that we've done wrong, the mistakes we've made. We don't need anyone really, if we're honest, to point them out, because we know inside. And sometimes when we think of Jesus confronting us, we want to draw back into the shadows. But the call comes, "Follow me," because he can see our potential. He can see the change that he can make in a person's life. Excuse me. He knew that he was going to go to the cross and die so that people could have their sins changed, so that they could be transformed men and women. And in the knowledge of that, he calls Matthew and says, "Follow me." And what happens? Well, what happens is that Matthew, in a sense, is just bowled over by this amazing situation. The outcast has suddenly become the one of importance. Jesus has come to him and transformed him. And he is so bowled over that he wants not only for his maybe friends and that, but for a whole host of other people to come and to see and know Jesus. So he throws a party. So that his friends, his other tax collectors, says many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him. That's with Jesus and his disciples. What an opportunity. What a wonderful thing to do. Sometimes wonder whether when we have been transformed by the power of Jesus, we're looking for opportunities whereby we might be able to introduce our friends to this Jesus that has changed us. So we see in one instant Jesus looking and seeing this man. And then we have another sight, the sight that's depicted by the Pharisees when they said they saw this. They saw this man, Matthew. They know all about Matthew. They knew about the other tax collectors and sinners gathered there for that eat that meal. And they just didn't believe. They didn't believe that that transformation had taken place. Well, of course, only time would reveal that. But you see, they were so full of their prejudices. They just said, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" They were judging Matthew and they were saying, in a sense, he hasn't changed, he's just the same. But of course, they were not only judging Matthew, they were judging Jesus. They were saying, well, if he really was a prophet, a holy man as he claims to be, he would know what this man was really like. And rather than embrace him, he would shun him. See the difference of attitude there? And Jesus overhears them. And he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifices. That comes from Hosea and chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus is quoting something that they should have known, that God desires mercy more than sacrifices. And he said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Just a short reading, isn't it, really? Just a short incident. But here we have Jesus showing his love and his compassion and his acceptance. Here we see something of the very heart of Jesus. What happened to Matthew? Well, we don't know. There are speculations about Matthew that he died a martyr's death. Some people believe that not only did he go around Jerusalem and Israel preaching about Jesus, but he traveled further afield. There's even a story that he went to Ethiopia. Whether he did or not, there's no factual evidence of that. It's just what some people have surmised. But Jesus transformed his life and he became one of the disciples. Luke tells us that he left all to follow Jesus. Just imagine, here he is in his booth. He's got already a stash of money on the side there that he's been putting in and away. And Jesus makes the call and he suddenly gets up and he leaves it all and follows Jesus. In that call from Jesus to follow me, a transformation had taken place. And he knew then that all of that wealth, well, it wasn't worth a bean in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. And friends, I want to tell you that that same Jesus is here tonight. He's here before me, he's here before you. And he makes the same call, follow me. And when we hear and when we respond, that same transformation takes place. We suddenly become, we're altered from being, as it were, an outcast. We're altered from being a sinner into a saint. We're changed people. That's what Jesus does. That's what he went to the cross for. For there was no other way for us to be saved but by his death. He paid the price for all that we've done that is wrong, for all that we feel guilty about. He's paid the price. And God accepts that sacrifice of his Son. So that when Jesus now says to us, follow me, he has the endorsement as well as the Father. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and brings about that total transformation. And so there we have it, friends. This gospel message from the calling of Matthew to the calling of each one of us. Some of you have already heard that call years ago and have responded. But just in case there's one person that hasn't yet heard it, let me tell you, Jesus is still calling to you. Follow me. Friends, don't ignore the call. Get up and follow him and experience the transformation, the joy and the hope that he has made possible by his death and by his resurrection. May we hear the call of Jesus. Amen.